Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
All right, I'm going to ask the children to come on up and sit up here, because I need some help today. Let's open up to John chapter 6, if you will. All right, this is a chance to get a good look at our children. I'm kind of getting hemmed in here. This is going to be a little bit tough. All right. You know, our children, I so appreciate the children's ministers that we have here. In the congregation, yeah, hang on a second. In the congregation, those of you that work with our kids, would you stand up, please? Would you just stand up so we can acknowledge you and bless you? Thank you. Now, we so appreciate the investment that you have in these children. And I was so glad to hear we had our leadership council meeting last Friday night. And one of the testimonies was Sean said, you know, we're pretty well staffed. And if you know anything about children's workers, that's one of the hardest things that there is to be able to staff. Everything that we do, and especially we try to allow our children's ministers to minister maybe once or twice a month maximum so that they can be part of what we do here also. So thank you. And these kids are amazing kids. Kids, you know that you have power. You know that you have Jesus in you. You know you have the same Jesus in you that I have in you. And you have the same Holy Spirit in you that I have in me. How many of you kids have seen a vision? Some raising hands, and there's a few. I know a lot of you have. How many of you have ever prophesied? You guys prophesy over each other back in the room? I understand that you do. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. John chapter 6 and verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." How many know? You know, Jesus is talking. Jesus didn't always say things that made a lot of sense, did he? Can you kids think of any time that Jesus said something that was just hard for people to believe? How about just before I read this, Jesus just talked to some people and he said, "Except you eat my body and drink my blood, you can't have any part in me." Now, do you think that was hard for people to understand? It was a little bit hard for people to understand, wasn't it? You know, and Jesus, it's amazing. He never really felt compelled to explain mysteries to people. Jesus was okay with leaving mysteries where he let them drop. Jesus was never all that concerned about people understanding with their natural mind. In fact, sometimes the natural mind, if they understood things naturally, would get in the way of them understanding things spiritually. So Jesus says, "My words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life." Kids, do you know that the words that you speak are spirit and they're life? Do you know that the words that you say to your brothers and your sisters, to your mom and dad, do you know that they carry a spiritual part of you with? And we're going to find out why that's true. But the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. You can speak death and you can speak life. Can you kids think of any time that you've maybe spoken death? Can you tell me one? No? Okay. You looked like you knew what I was talking about there. Has anybody ever said to your brother or your sister, "You're stupid"? They're all saying, "No, I've never done that." We got a couple of honest ones here. How do you think that felt to your brother and your sister? Do you think that that spoke life? Do you think it made them go, "Yippee, I'm stupid"? I don't think, what are you laughing about? I don't think that saying things like that really spoke life. But when you say things, because they're part of who you are, see, the Bible says that in Matthew chapter 12, it says, out of the treasure of your heart, you bring forth both good things and bad things. How many know that your heart's a treasure chest? Kids, you know your heart's a treasure chest? How can your heart be a treasure chest? Jesus said, out of the treasure of your heart, you bring forth both good things out of the good treasure, and out of the bad treasure of your heart, you bring forth bad things. Now, if you said to your brother or your sister, "You're stupid," do you think that came out of the good treasure chest or the bad treasure chest? The bad treasure chest? Well, you're probably right. But do you know that you can, out of the treasure chest of your heart, you can say to your brother and your sister, can you imagine this, saying to your sister, "I love you"? How many have said, "I love you" to your brothers and sisters lately? We got some work to do here. Do you know that you have a treasure chest of love in your heart? Do you know that you have a treasure chest of good words in your heart? See, and your words are part of who you are. That treasure chest is spiritual. In other words, you're not going to go to the doctor tomorrow, and they're not going to operate on you, and they're not going to cut your tummy open, and they're going to see a treasure chest there, are they? But the treasure chest, just like Jesus' words, were spiritual. They're spirit and they're truth. They're spirit and they're life. The words, the thoughts, the things that you do are spirit and they're life. There is a power in you, in each of you kids, in us as adults, to release life through our words. Or even with a look like that, it releases life. See, can you turn around and smile at the congregation like you're smiling at me? Tell me now, is that a treasure chest of life or what is that? And there's this amazing ability that we have as people because we're created in God's image. That doesn't mean that we look like God necessarily on the outside. I mean, how would God look like me and look like Bob at the same time? I don't think so. Or look like me and look like you at the same time. That's not going to happen. But see, you are created in God's image. And when Jesus said, "The words that I speak are spirit and life," he meant that the words that he spoke were coming out of his spirit man. And they were life because they represented the Father of life. His Father in heaven. And that's who you can represent. Now, kids, I need help with this. How many senses do we have in the natural? Here's a hint.
Five.
Yeah, all right, five. So who can tell me what are the five senses that we have? Go ahead. Here, hang on a minute. Let's get this thing working. Oh, yeah. Can you stand up? Tell us the five senses.
Smell, touch, see, hear, and taste.
Taste. Good. Way to go. All right. Yeah, and the thing of it is, kids, see, you have those five natural senses. You can see things and you can hear things. How many know that if you can see a 2x4 being swung at you, you're going to duck? Isn't that right? Or if you can hear somebody talking about you, you can walk away from that. Or if you know that something's going to hurt you, you can step back, you can get away from that. See, those senses that God has given us, the natural senses, they're for your safety. If you didn't have the sense of feel, you'd reach your hand onto a hot stove and you'd get burned, wouldn't you? Yeah. You know that that's what happens with lepers is they can't feel. They don't have a sense of touch in their hands. And they could lay their hand on a stove and burn it right off and they wouldn't know it. See, so God, the senses that he's given you in the natural are very, very important. But here's the deal. The words that Jesus spoke were spirit and life. And therefore, you have to hear with spiritual senses. Do you know that you have 5 spiritual senses? You do. You do. They're inside of you. You hear them with your heart. You see them with your heart. You feel it with your heart. But you can see things in the kingdom of God. And you see things in the kingdom of God. See, that's why I asked if some of you saw a vision, had ever seen a vision. I remember one Sunday, we had kind of a fun service here where we just soaked. It was a family Sunday, and rather than preaching and teaching, we soaked. And you kids taught us how to soak. And I remember that day that one of you girls got up, and I can't even remember who it was. I got kind of a memory like that sometimes. But I remember the little girl got up, and she said in just her humility and her simplicity, she says, "Well, I see a kingdom, or I see a castle. And I see doors open. And boy, there's a table inside the castle." And then she's going on and she's talking about what she was seeing in her spirit, man. And she says, "I see that table. It goes all the way around the world." Now, I don't know if a girl about this high can connect that we are doing communion or not. And about how the table of communion, the fellowship of the table of Christ goes all the way around the world. But see, that's amazing to me. And I know that Sean and Tammy and the team, they train you guys to see visions. And you can see things by your imagination. Now, some people think it's just imagination, but I don't believe it is. I believe your imagination is something that's in your spirit, man. Now, just like words, your imaginations can come out of a good treasure chest, or they can come out of a bad treasure chest, can't they? See, and what we need to learn to do is to see the kingdom of God out of the good treasure chest. How many know, adults also, that the reason we so desperately need to see with our senses, we so need to understand our inner man. We need to touch upon the inner man. We sometimes think that being a spiritual man is ethereal and it's out there and it's wacky. And, you know, me, I love to just get lost in the spirit. Well, that's not really what it's all about. It's really very, very practical. Do you know in the spirit realm, you can see that 2x4 coming at you? And if you're spiritually sensitive, you know to duck. You know that there's warfare that happens in the spirit realm. The words that Jesus spoke were spirit and they were life. There were people there that didn't see what Jesus saw. There were people there that didn't hear what Jesus had to say. Why? Because in their spirit, man, they were dead. See, kids, one of the things that we do when we're teaching you in children's ministry, and one of the things that is just passionate about us, is we don't want to just teach you about God. We want to teach you how to know God in your spirit man. We want to teach you how to fill the treasure chest of your heart with good things. We want to teach you how to bring out of the treasure chest of your heart good things. So how do you smell something in the spirit? Have you ever thought of that? Your spirit man, I believe that all 5 of these senses are very, very real. And that you can smell some things in the spirit. You know, we talk about it all the time. Something bad happens to us, and we say, that stinks. Well, what do you mean it stinks? It didn't smell. I mean, you know, something tragic happens to you, and we as adults, we say, well, that stinks. Well, where does it stink? See, and if you are sensitive, you begin to understand certain things that happen in life, certain things that transpire in life have either a fragrance of life or they have a fragrance of death. I believe that sometimes we as believers, we don't know what God's will is because we haven't exercised our senses, the sense of smell, to be able to smell the fragrance of Christ, to see the beauty of His holiness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Wait a minute, how do you taste and see that the Lord is good? Has anybody ever listened to Ann Shirley? Ann Shirley, do you see that movie? In that movie, do you ever hear her talk about, oh, the bitterness of death has come upon me? What in the world is she talking about? Did death taste like sour grapes or something? You know, did death have a taste to it? No. She was tasting something. And we talk about that as adults, don't we? Oh, that left a sour taste in my mouth. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody? Kids, when you tell your brother or your sister, you're stupid, do you know that what you're doing is you're doing something to them in their senses? I've come away from conversations, especially with gossip. Have you ever come away from a conversation, adults, where you've had gossip? Where you've just kind of sat there and people talk about people, and do you ever come away just feeling just kind of, ew, kind of unclean? Kind of like you stink? There is a very real aroma that is released when we gossip with one another. There's a real aroma that's released when we take and we criticize people, when we call people names. There is a very real something that's released in our spirit realm. And a lot of times people can sense whether we love them or not more than what your words will say. Why? Because we have spiritual senses. We have the sense of love, taste, or of seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, and tasting. I almost missed the taste one too. So I want to encourage us, kids, that we know what it's like to have spiritual senses, and you need to get to know your spirit man. You know, I've spent some time this last week where God has been bringing up some things that I've buried in the past. I just kind of stuffed them. And God has been reminding me of those things and bringing them back up. Why? Because they affected me spiritually many, many years ago. And I'm finding out that they still have a hold on how I feel, on the things that I do. There's some painful things that I've had to face lately. And it's like, without the sense of without operating in the senses in my spirit man, a lot of those things just stay buried. And they have an underlying damage that they do to us. See, if your heart has become hardened, it many times is because you've shut off your spiritual senses. It says in Hebrews chapter 6 that by reason of use we have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. There's an exercising of our spiritual senses. Now, as believers, we understand that we are body, soul, and spirit, that we have a treasure chest that we either speak out of, that we do out of, that it can either bring life or it can bring death. See, I'd like to say that, well, I'm redeemed. Jesus has saved me. I'm absolutely whole and pure, and I'm his son, and all those things are true, and I believe those. But the reality is there are still some times that I speak and do things out of the treasure chest of my heart that doesn't smell very good, that doesn't taste very good to people around me. You can ask my wife. So kids, what we're doing in children's ministry is we're teaching you about your spirit man. We're teaching you about your five senses that you have inside of you. And we're teaching you how to put good things in that treasure chest. The scripture says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, my children." Why? Because out of it flow the issues of life. See, the things that you see, the things that you hear, the things that you experience in life are all put into that treasure chest. Now, I couldn't quite do it today, kids, but you know what I was going to do? I was going to get an aerosol can that had some really bad smelling stuff in it. And I couldn't find it, you know, and I was going to demonstrate how that, you know, once you let it out, it's kind of like bad gas. Once it's out, you can't get it back in. The damage is done, and it stinks. Okay, that might be a little bit graphic, but it's true. It's true. So how do you get rid of that smell once you once somebody has either said something nasty to you or done something cruel to you or done something mean to you? See, kids, I want you to I really want you to hear this. When you say something mean to your brother and your sister, and mom and dad says, "Say you're sorry," okay? You don't just, "Oh, sorry." You think that that really got rid of the smell? Do you think it really got rid of the hurt? You do? I don't think so either. I think that there's something that, has to go a little bit deeper where you realize that, oh my goodness, I hurt them. Repentance would be like the perfume that comes out. When you say you're sorry from the heart, when we say that we're sorry from the heart, when we've hurt people in life, it's the perfume that takes away the nasty smell. It's the bandage that covers up the wound that we've made. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go there for a moment. I'm sorry, it's actually 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Kids, did you hear what that just said? It says that, first of all, God leads you in the victory lap. How many have ever won a race here? You ever run a race and won a race? You've won a race? And do you ever get to, you know, in the once you've won the race, you go, yeah, yay, and you have the victory? Yeah, it's a good thing to win something. When you really give yourself to something, you go for it, and you're victorious. In the Indy 500, they have something that's called the victory lap. After the winning car has won, they do a victory lap. They just drive around for the heck of it. You know, what became the competition, what became the course of battle, all of a sudden it becomes something that's the victory lap. And that's what this is saying, is that God wants to lead you in places of victory. God wants to lead you in places where you can say, yeah, we won. How about the Apostle Paul? Who knows who the Apostle Paul was? It's him who wrote this. And you know what? He was in shipwrecks. He was in prisons. He was stoned. He was beaten up. He was persecuted. And he's the one that says, but it's a victory. It's God that leads us in the victory. Why is that? It's because in his spirit, man, he was very, very victorious. In his spirit, man, in the treasure chest of his heart, he was a very victorious guy. But it says that as God brings us around like that, he diffuses or he lets go of fragrance. And you become a fragrance. That fragrance is the knowledge that you have of God, the way that you know God, the way you can describe God to people, the way that you can be Jesus to people, the way that you can, like Jesus did, he said that my words are spirit and they're life, and they're not spirit and death. For we are to God, the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. To the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Do you know, kids, that when you operate out of the treasure chest of your heart, that's life and that's good? Do you know that diffuses, that sends out a fragrance to people all around you? And that fragrance is going to smell really good to some people. But there's other people it's not going to smell so good to. For those that know and love Jesus, it's yet like, yeah, I mean, when you guys are releasing the fragrance of Christ to me, I'm going, yeah, hooray, go kids. I remember one time kneeling right here when you kids all came and gathered around me and prayed over me. And you just released the fragrance of Christ on me. And you blessed me and you prayed for me. And I was weeping and snotting and all those kinds of things. It was because of the fragrance of Christ that was coming from you kids. It was so precious. It was so good. But there are some other people who are going to say, what's that smell? That stinks. I don't like that smell. See, but that doesn't change the way that you act. That doesn't change the treasure chest of your heart. Because God wants you to always work out of the treasure chest, the good treasure chest that's in your heart. And God always wants you putting in good things in the treasure chest of your heart. Your mom and dad, your parents, your children's ministry teachers, they're all working to put good things in the treasure chest of your heart. So that when you leave this place, and when you go home with your brothers and sisters, the things that's coming out of the treasure chest of your heart is, I love you, rather than, you're stupid. That was mine. You know, there's a picture that Paul is thinking about here. In the Roman army, in the Roman days, now this is really gross, you guys. Of course, you'd probably like this. You'll probably like this one. But in the Roman days, when the Roman army would come back from a victory, they would take some of the captives with them. And let's say they won a battle that was 4 days away. When they left where the battle was, they'd take some of the captives alive, but they'd tie dead bodies to them. I know, this is gross. They'd tie dead bodies to them, and they'd make them walk all the way back to the city of Rome with dead bodies hanging on their back. And those dead bodies, after 4 days in the sun, would start to smell, it would start to stink, it would be kind of gross. And to the people who were carrying the dead bodies, it was a fragrance of death. It was like, man, we lost, and I'm dead. There's just nothing left for me to do here. But to the people who were in the streets, when they saw the captives coming back with the dead bodies on them, that was the aroma of life. Our armies won the battle. They've won the battle. They made the day. See, and in the same way, because you have Christ in you, who is the hope of glory, you have this fragrance that looks like Jesus. You have this anointing in you that looks like Jesus. And it's with that anointing that you're going to touch the people in your schools, in your neighborhoods, wherever you are. As you grow into young adults, it's going to be the purity and the fragrance of Christ that's on you. That's going to make a difference in your world because you know how to work out the good treasure of your heart. Amen? All right, kids, you can go on and be seated. We're going to break bread together today. You know, that's really a fairly simple lesson, but it's so profound. It's so real to who we are in Christ. It's so real to the essence of Christ in us. If we don't understand how to maintain and how to sow things into our spirit man that produce life, if we don't know how to be aware when we're hearing something that's saying danger, danger. You know, in Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, flee from youthful lusts. What was he saying? I mean, how did he know youthful lusts were going to come after him? I believe it's something that you feel in the spirit that's saying, danger, danger, it's time to get out of here. Has anybody ever had that happen? Or you just feel like something just doesn't feel right in this situation. A businessman making a deal with somebody. Could be worth thousands or millions of dollars. It could be worth just, you know, relationships, all these things. And you just feel like it's not right. See, I want to encourage you. You're hearing something in your spirit, man. And you need to learn how to cultivate an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying. When Jesus was preaching this message, when he was talking about this, what he had done was he had just ruined one of the greatest revival meetings that you'd ever want to have. I mean, thousands of people are following him. And they want to make him king. Come on, Jesus, we're going to make you king. There's something that went off in the heart of Jesus, in the spirit man of Jesus, that said, get out of here. Well, wait a minute, Jesus, they want to make you king. What's wrong with that? See, but the spirit of man of Jesus is saying, get out of here. He goes to the mountains. He flees what the people wanted to do. Why? Because he knew that for them to make him king was going to uproot his true purpose, the real reason he had come. So he heard this alarm going off in his spirit man. He saw this 2x4 coming at him, saying, I'm going to sucker Jesus into this one. We'll just get some flattery going. We'll get some people that want to make him king, and it's going to, you know, deter him. It's going to change the way that he wants to work. See, we're not that different in that. Sometimes the good things are the 2x4s that are being swung at us. Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. I got ears. But I haven't always heard what the Spirit is saying to the church. So I want to encourage us to cultivate the spirit man within, to exercise the spirit man within. It's not just for children. I'm finding myself coming to a place where more and more I want to cultivate the spirit man within. I want to recognize the voice of my Father. I want to see the kingdom in ways that I've never seen the kingdom before. I want to smell the fragrance of Christ when he comes into the room. You know, I want to taste in the goodness of God. I want to know what it's like to delight in him. I want to know what it's like to eat of his body and drink of his blood and to have a delight in my spirit, man. I want to be able to feel his presence. You know, the church for a long time says, well, you can't trust feelings, and you're right, you can't trust feelings. Nevertheless, those feelings need to be mastered and understood. That God does want me to feel his embrace from time to time. And one of my favorite things to do in my chair, my living room at home, is when I just feel like God says, come on, climb up into my lap. And I'll literally, I'll climb up and I'll just snuggle into my daddy. Oh, Dave, that's silly. You're just imagining things. No, well, I guess I am imagining it with my sanctified imagination. And I act on it. See, it's one thing to hear the voice. It's one thing to see what God's doing. It's one thing to feel it. It's another thing to align your life up into what you're seeing, tasting, touching, and feeling. So when Jesus said, except you eat my body and drink my blood, he messes up a perfectly good revival service. But he was talking to somebody who had to have spiritual ears to hear. What does it mean when we break bread together? See, it's just another way of saying abide in the vine. Draw all of your life's nourishment from the vine who is Jesus Christ. We have this incredible invitation to come and actually feed on the bread of life. Am I eating his body? No, I'm not. Not really, but spiritually I am. In my spirit, man, I'm being nourished when we share this supper together. This, what we're about to do, it's not just a religious exercise. This can change our lives. This is sowing something into our spirit, man, if we'll sow in by faith, if we'll believe that we have been invited into this incredible, incredible supper in him. I'm going to ask the teams to come forward, if you would, please. Thank you. Go ahead. Oh, we're going to do the bread first here. All right, do we have one more team? There we come. You can go ahead and start dispersing the elements if you would, please. Let's just open our hearts this morning. If you're new here, what we do is we'll pass out the elements. We wait for one another to eat together. If you have young children, we give you liberty to minister communion the way that you feel is proper and right for your family. Well, let's eat from this table this morning in faith. To eat of the broken body of Jesus Christ means to eat of everything that He is. He's laying it all out on the table. Everything I am is yours. Everything that I've done, everything I am, my position in heaven, it's yours. My righteousness, my holiness, my words, they're yours. Eat of me. Be nourished, be encouraged, be strengthened in your inner man. There's just a truth of you become what you eat. What you eat. Thank you, Jesus. The night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He had broken it, you know, He gave thanks. He said, "This is my body that's broken for you. So often as you eat this, eat it in remembrance of me." So Jesus, our eyes are on you this morning. Eyes are on you this morning, that as we behold you, as we look on you, that we're changed. We move from glory to glory, from one image to another image, being conformed into your likeness. We thank you for this table where we're invited to eat of you, to partake of you. Where you literally gave us everything you are. You've freely given it to us. Partake this morning of the bread of life in Jesus' name. Seat. Thank you. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Father, we bless you, praise you, we worship you. Awesome God, awesome King. The same way Jesus took the cup when he had given thanks, he said, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink, all of you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for the cup of life, that the life is in the blood. Lord, we drink life this morning. We're drinking the life of righteousness, holiness, forgiveness, reconciliation. God, we're drinking the blood that was spilled so that we could live. Lord, we drink with hearts that understand, ears to hear, eyes to see. drink this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We worship you. We praise you. We love who you are, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together. I want to encourage you, if you have needs this morning, if you have any physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, if you just want a touch from God, we've got some teams this morning that are just really, they're full and they're ready to just impart the life of Christ. We want to invite you to come on forward and just receive prayer. There's coffee out in the lobby. Just hang out, love on one another. We bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I bless this congregation, God. I bless this people. Father, I pray that in the week that comes, God, that we had come to know our spiritual senses much more accurately, much more acutely. Father, I'm asking for a turning up on the dial of our hearts to know your voice, to see what you're doing, to know the fragrance of Christ, to know the taste that God is good. And God, to be able to feel your warm embrace. Father, I thank you, God, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, that you gave us some things in the natural just to mirror and reflect who we are in the spiritual realm. We thank you. You're so good. We bless you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.